भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 35 एंटाइटल्ड द गोपीज सिंग ऑफ कृष्णा। वी हैव टेक्स्ट 8-11। We will chant text 8. Anucharai Samanuvarnita Virya Adi Purusha Ivachala Bhuti Vanacharo Giritateshu Charantir वेणुना वयति गा स यदा हि अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या आदिपुरुष इवाचलभूति आदिपुरुष इवाचल भूति वनचरो गिरितटेषु चरन्तिर् वनचरो गिरितटेषु चरन्तिर् वेणुना वयति गास यदाहि वेणुना वयति गासदाहि अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या आदिपुरुष इवाचल भूति वनचरो गिरितटेषु चरन्तिर् वेणुना वयति गास यदाहि अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या आदिपुरुष इवाचल भूति वनचरो गिरितटेषु चरन्तिर् वेणुना वयति गा सदाहि।
अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या आदिपुरुष इवाचल भूति वनचरो गिरितटेषु चरन्तिर् वेणुना वयति गा सदाहि। अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या आदिपुरुष इवाचल भूति वनचरो गिरितटेषु चरन्तिर् वेणुना वयति गा सदाहि। अनुचरै समनुवर्णित वीर्या ఆదిపురుష ఇవాచల భూతి వనచరో గిరి తటేషు చరంతిర్ వేణు నావయతి గాసయ దాహి. అనుచరై సమనువర్ణిత వీర్య ఆదిపురుష ఇవాచల భూతి వనచరో గిరితటేషు చరంతిర్ వేణు నావయతి గాసయ దాహి.
దిస్ ఇస్ టెక్స్ట్ 8. విల్ బి రీడింగ్ 9, 10, and 11.
వనలతాస్తరవ ఆత్మని విష్ణు వ్యంజయంత్య ఇవ పుష్పఫలాద్యా ప్రణత భార విటపా మధుధారా ప్రేమరిష్టతనవో వవృషుస్మ దర్శనీయ తిలకో వనమాలా దివ్యగంధ తులసీ మధుమత్తై అలికులైరలఘు గీతమభీష్టం ఆద్రియంజర్హి సందిత వేణు సరసి సారస హంస విహంగాశ్ చారు గీతరిత చేతస ఏత్య హరిముపాసత తేయత చిత్త హంత మిలితో దృశుధ్రీత మౌనా.
ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ రైసి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్. Translation: Krishna moves about the forest in the company of his friends, who vividly chant the glories of his magnificent deeds. He thus appears just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting his inexhaustible opulences. When the cows wander onto the mountain sides and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the trees and creepers in the forest respond by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments of on their trunks and vines stand erect out of the ecstasy of love of God, and both the trees and the creepers pour down a rain of sweet sap. Maddened by the divine honey-like aroma of the tulasi flowers on the garland Krishna wears, swarms of bees sing loudly for him. And that most beautiful of all persons thankfully acknowledges and acclaims their song by taking his flute to his lips and playing it. The charming flute song then steals away the minds of the cranes, swans, and other lake-dwelling birds. Indeed, they approach Krishna, close their eyes, and maintaining strict silence, worship him by fixing their consciousness upon him in deep meditation.
వందేయం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురోన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మయ్యం తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. నమాం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద Shriyadvaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is a note given by Srila Jiva Goswami about this chapter. That the description of this, the verses of this chapter are described as being sung on various occasions by small groups of gopis. They would gather, and this is their observation. We'll read the purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made several illuminating comments on these verses. He gives the analogy that just as when householder Vaishnavas hear a Sankirtan party approaching, they become ecstatic and offer obeisances, so the trees and creepers in Vrindavan became ecstatic when they heard Krishna's flute and bowed low with their branches and vines. The word Darshaniya Tilaka in text 10 indicates not only that the Lord is the most excellent to see, but also that he decorated himself with attractive reddish tilak taken from the mineral-rich earth of Vrindavan forest. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also points out that Tulasi, although exalted in many ways, is not normally considered an especially fragrant plant. However, early in the morning, Tulasi emits a transcendental fragrance that ordinary people cannot perceive, but that transcendental personalities fully appreciate. The bees who are privileged to swarm about the flower garlands worn by the Supreme Personality of Godhead certainly appreciate this fragrance, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes from Bhagavatam 3:15-19 to the effect that the most fragrant plants in Vaikuntha also appreciate the special qualifications of Tulasi Devi. The word Sandhita Venu in text 10 indicates that Lord Krishna placed his flute firmly upon his lips, and the melody emanating from that flute is certainly the most enchanting of sounds, as the gopis described in this chapter. Reading Krishna book about the life of the gopis and their dealings with Krishna, you can be certain about one thing: they really are in love. No one can doubt that. If somebody tries to define love, at least we can use this one description and say that, oh, they are really in love. Why is love such a stirring emotion? Why it gives birth to so many other emotions? In fact, the material world which we are accustomed to has the counterpart of love as one of the most heavyweight of all emotions: hate. People can do so many things based on just this one emotion, hate. Unfortunately, our world is a mess of so many emotions gone completely out of control. Not just the emotions are out of control, we can't even put a proper label on them. We don't know what to love, we don't know what to hate. And there is every chance that when we see the love of gopis through these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we are guided properly, we may be confused. Take for example the love for sports. At one point of time, you adore somebody's play in your heart. You like to think about then the mannerisms, how that person, how that sports personality behaves. And especially, we will begin understanding of this. Ultimately, we will reach Vrindavan, but at least would like to begin through our plane here, that there is a strong marketing emotion. Like people have this emotion and there are marketers who want to exploit that. Yeah, go for this team. Buy these badges, pennants, caps, hats, whatever. And especially during the time of a big tournament, they call it a World Cup, but only 12 countries are playing. While the world has about 192 plus countries. How can you call something a World Cup when, you know, less than 10% of the world is represented there? But cricket is not that bad. Baseball is only played in about 6 or 7 countries when there is a World Cup. So anybody can be fooled. It just matters about the size of the game, about the size of the hype. So normally everybody takes their age and their school or college time to be the standard. So I'll be falling in the same trap, like calling it during our times. During our times, we would just have some cricketers, pictures or their soft drinks would have something about them. You can get an album. And as days go by, this so-called love emotion is whipped to fever pitch. So much so, like in the West, I think Gaur Gopal Prabhu was mentioning in his visits to UK, every football team has a song and the fans have to sing that song. And they, of course, what do you do when you sing your team's song and then you hear some other person singing some other song? You beat them up. What else can you do when you see this is a material world? There is no chance of any unity. There is no unifying factor. So differences are to be stomped out. They are to be obliterated. So collecting things, wearing the slogans on your body, and then it goes higher and higher and higher, tattooing his name or something, or the team's name, or the insignia of the team, or hairstyle, or painting your body. It goes on and on and on. And all of this, very successfully manipulated by extremely greedy people. If you ask the bosses of these corporations as to which team do they like, they say none. I remember in a, not this World Cup, but the previous one, the most largest selling software company, a soft drink company in India. Cheer your team. 1 billion hearts beat for the Indian team. And they all wear blue or something. So they said, cheer for the men in blue. And somebody pointed out that the same soft drinks company operating in Pakistan and operating in Sri Lanka has the same slogan except cheer for the men in green, cheer for the men in black or whatever. So, these people are responsible for whipping up these emotions, but they don't have any care. So therefore, we read about in the Shastra that this world is a reflection, this world is a reflection. Or Shankaracharya went on to great lengths to say that this world is unreal. Now, unreal sounds unreal. We don't like to think that this world is unreal. Why? Because we touch it. We feel it. We touch people, we talk to people. But then, ask in your heart of hearts, are you satisfied with the quality of emotions? And somebody would say, there is no friendship here. There is no true love here. There is no true patriotism here. Nobody likes to work hard actually. While all these things are glorified, love, charity, hard work. So all these things are seemingly there and they are not there. So Vaishnav theology says, it is not unreal in the sense that it doesn't exist. It's unreal in the sense it is temporary. And temporary is a very important word, by the way. Temporary doesn't mean that something is there for 2 years and gone. Something can exist as long as this material world exists. But if it is wrapped out, if it is destroyed at the end, the last moment, still it qualifies as being temporary. So in that sense, nothing is eternal. So transcendentalists, we all joined ISKCON, we are all followers of Srila Prabhupada. So at least we have a nominal membership of this transcendentalist club. We may choose, we should not, but we may sort of feel that I really don't know whether Golok Vrindavan is there or not. Let me be satisfied with something at least better than what this world is. And that's the dangerous point. As you go higher up in the planetary systems, the condition of life, the quality of life becomes more and more and more and more elevated, more and more refined. And in many places it is like, it looks like almost as close as eternity. So to clear this doubt, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Right from the topmost place in a particular universe down to the lowest, all are places where repeated birth and death takes place. Avartan means a loop. It goes on and on. So death seems to be like the full stop. If you have any novel or a book, how many full stops it has? Hundreds. So similarly in your life, how many times have you been dead? Hundreds. But the full stop doesn't mean the end of the whole story. That sentence has ended, another one begins, another one begins. So the transition from material atmosphere to the spiritual one, there has to be death in between. We can't avoid it. For a sense enjoyer, there is no possibility of knowing what's on the other side. And therefore there is fear. Wherever there is ignorance, there is fear. Check in your own life. You could be facing the most difficult calamity. But if you know exactly what's going to happen, the fear element is reduced. And it could be the most harmless of all situations. But if you are in ignorance, you are most fearful. When I came to Radha Gopinath Mandir, late 1980s, this example was a very favorite example of one preacher at that time here. The setting is a typical Indian marriage. And now things have changed, but that time a photographer was necessary. And he would be told that now the bride would do this, click a photograph. Now she would be doing that. And India, so many communities, so many customs. Some marriages begin at 11:30 at night. Begin. I was in Amritsar and at 11:15, bam, 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 big type band baja, and I asked Prabhuji, what is that? He says, marriage procession. I said, it's 11:15. He said, yeah, that's how they begin now. If you begin at 11:15, when do you end? He says, the next day, evening or whatever. So, but I said, at least you can do that a bit silently. He says, no, marriage and silently, not possible. So every region would have its own subtle nuances in it has to be done like this, it has to be done like that. So at one particular marriage, the bride party told the photographer that at this particular time, the girl starts to cry. I mean, she has to cry because she is leaving her friends, relatives, and she is going to a far away, unknown place. I mean, I at least met one devotee in my life who said that he never saw his wife before marriage. He only saw her after the marriage day. So still there are people who follow that particular custom. Obviously, if you haven't seen your husband, imagine it's like opening a box and not knowing what to expect. Anything can come up. Of course, previously there was this cultural shell of protection. So it is not like it is all disaster. So it was very natural for a girl who was to be married. She would burst forth into tears. And then people would console and things would go like that. This particular marriage was very different. Although everything set in a traditional setting, they were in so-called love. They were knowing each other and the courting went on for a few months and she was dying to get married. The husband, the family was saying, no, he doesn't belong to our particular, that finest part of our community. We are from this side of the hill, he's from that side of the hill, and all these things which come up in India. And she said, no, it's only him or Nix. And he also said, it's only her or I will be a brahmachari or whatever. So it's not like they are trying to peek at each other while the ceremony is going on, or she already knew what's happening. The box was already opened. There are no surprises. So then this thing came that at least some aunt or somebody she whispered into somebody's ears, and that lady told somebody else and said, okay, now she has to cry. And she said, what? Cry? I mean, she was expressing relief. All these years I've been stuck with this family. They don't understand my likes, dislikes, whatever. And this day, I'm going to meet that person, the most important person in my life. And they're telling me to cry. She flatly refused. She said, no, I won't cry. So they said, no, it's not like that. I mean, so finally, it was decided, at least for the album. At least cry for the album. She tried and tried and tried. She couldn't cry. Finally, somebody said, okay, take a syringe, put some water in her eyes. And then a teary-eyed bride was photographed. And the photographers were dispatched. And Of course, the example ends here. Now our philosophy begins now. So it was given that, it was a nice example. I remember it's so fresh after so many years, 2 decades almost. Death is like that. For an ordinary sense enjoyer, just living in this world, if you ask somebody, what are you doing? Just living, taking a day at a time. Some people say, taking a day at a time. Like the day pushes them from 1 month to another, 1 year to another, and finally they meet the gate called death. And they don't have any idea as to what to expect after you cross it. And therefore, death is terrifying. It's not just simply terrifying, it's actually horrendous. You feel pangs of separation from even the worst of all material situations. The human mind can say, at least this was good, at least that was good. A person completely tormented by family life. Like there is this joke, I know it's a joke, so don't take it too seriously. Like a person who is beaten by his wife every day at end would say, well, at least she used the soft end of the mop. She was not that inconsiderate. So, all that you long for, all that you want is here. And yonder there is a great unknown. Why would you go there? It's like your feet are dragged and you're looking here. And no, don't take me away. And as they say, like people describe, cruel death snatched this loving soul away from us. Well, it depends upon your understanding whether death is cruel or death is merciful. Contrast this with a devotee. A devotee has cultivated knowledge of what's beyond the gate. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is fully equipping you. The verses seem to confuse sometimes. Like when Krishna says, Na tad bhasayate suryo, na shashanko, na pavaka, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhama paramam mama. My abode has no sun, no moon, no electricity. You may say, what? Is it that dark a place? No. Krishna is saying, there is no need of the sun, moon and electricity. Many of Gita's definitions are negative oriented. Krishna comes to our level, to our experience, and says, what you see around here? Misery. Birth, misery. Old age, misery. Disease, misery. Death, misery. It doesn't happen there. You must say, oh. Wow, that means there is something. So the Gita builds up slowly, slowly. It has so many hints. Krishna talks of anantaya kalpate. Now where is a ananta in this material world? Something which doesn't end. No ananta. Mat samstham adigachati. He comes to my abode. Avyakta akshara ityuktas. It is a avyakta. Now here vyakta means expressed materially. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And he talks that there is no need of earth, water, fire, air there. So these are the hints we should take to understand, hey, if there is a tree there are flowers there, what are they made of? But if you take ordinary flowers, of course, this is not ordinary, this is Mahaprasad. This is a vivid example of a materially made product given a spiritual charge. It's like, I hold a wire and I say, touch it. And if you touch it, it has no electric charge. It's just like a copper wire. Then I plug it to an electric supply source. And I say, now touch this wire. So you touch it and you say, hey, why didn't you tell me that? He says, why? It's just a wire. It's just a wire with electrical charge. I say, no, it is electricity. I didn't touch just a wire, I touched electricity. Because I got a shock. So many different kinds of materials. We see material variety here, but the essence is the same. Everything is nashwar. Earmarked for destruction. It's just like you see a tomb. Some religions, they have a cemetery and they have either a plaque or a stone and it says 26 December 42, 13th September 2002. So the first date is when this thing came into being. The second date is gone. So it's almost like everything in this material world has, if you see it, the first date is there. And then a hyphen. And the second date is also there, but in invisible ink. You don't see it. If that second date is inevitable, why are we so fascinated with immortality? We have scientists preserving the bodies of people that later they will discover how to make them immortal. Now I heard about this story, may not be accurate totally, but the principle is worth noting. One big industrialist, he caught some scientists, or they caught him, whatever, that he paid them a lot of money, that after his death, they would preserve his body in some nitrogen gas or whatever, and when they would discover the art of making somebody immortal, they would inject those chemicals again and he would come back to life. Now first of all, see his ignorance, that giving so much of money and their expertise in taking that money from him. But the ignorance doesn't stop here. His relatives were actually fearful he might again come back to life. So they bribed those scientists not to bring him back. So it's just a fool's paradise. One fool thinking I can become immortal, somebody saying, oh, he could actually be immortal. So this is all under this big, thick covering of ignorance. What we see here, the gopis, previously we saw in the last chapter how they would imitate Krishna Leela. And at least to my mind it was like a doubt. Does this kind of thing happen to somebody in love? I mean, what exactly do we mean by somebody loving Krishna? And Prabhupada never had any doubt as to why he has founded this society. As devotees started serving Prabhupada, see, we asked so many Prabhupada disciples and they tell that when we came in the temple, the atmosphere was surcharged with either Prabhupada just left a few days or weeks ago and he said, do this, do this, do this. Or in some places, Prabhupada is coming. Next month, Prabhupada is coming. So we should be keeping the garden like this, or he wanted this like that. Books, he wanted them to be distributed. Rathiyatras, he wanted them to be held on a grand scale. In fact, people could miss out on the deities, but not Prabhupada. The whole atmosphere was so Prabhupada conscious. There are plenty of disciples still, sometimes they come to this temple or we meet them in Mayapur or Vrindavan. Like a devotee has just one memory in his life. Prabhupada saw the courtyard in a particular temple. He liked the roses. And he said, who tends to the roses? And they say, Gopavrinda Pal Das. call him. And he comes there. And Prabhupada said, you take care of the roses? He said, yes. Thank you very much. And Prabhupada goes for his morning walk. That's all. That one comment is enough for this Prabhu to carry on his service eternally. If you ask him, will he do this? Anytime, anywhere, as many lifetimes. Now, this sentiment, we find so many imitators in this world. Like those who tattoo their sports star, rock star, film star on their bodies, or say we are, like right now they have started to call people devotees of a particular film star or whatever. I mean, they are just imitating that. At least in South India we have people who immolate themselves because their film star died or whatever. How come somebody can extinguish his own life like that? So ignorance is a fuel in this material world, and pure chinmay, spiritual consciousness, is the fuel in the spiritual world. They are both available. Here we see, I was making this point about Prabhupada giving importance to so many services. During the last 1 or 2 years, those who were serving for 5, 6, 7 years, they sort of mused to themselves, what does Prabhupada really want? I mean, should we build bigger temples, more bigger farmlands or restaurants or scientific programs? What exactly? And the letters they would get, Prabhupada would really encourage about every book printed makes me feel like I have conquered an empire. Or, oh, you have a nice temple, I should come to your see your temple. So at one point of time, the book distributors, who were like the, you know, the frontline commandos of ISKCON's army, they asked Prabhupada, what will really please you? And they waited with bated breath, because now was the time. Finally, Prabhupada was going to say, which is going to be recorded, which is going to be the guiding factor for 10,000 years. And Prabhupada said, if you could love Krishna. Now it's so easy to love Krishna. But again, that's the most difficult part. The love university doesn't have a syllabus. There is no certificate to say that, oh, he loves you. Like, people do write, every bus stop in India has something, S loves B or B loves P. All these hearts with those arrows going through them. Now after 10, 12 years, it could be S can't stand P or S is with T or B is with A, and so many things have happened. As they say, so much water has flown down the bridge. Life goes on. It doesn't go on like that. It's hurtling towards disaster. One emotional disaster to another. Here we don't see like that. That means there is a difference. We are all anxious to taste it. And in the beginning of this chapter's explanation, Krishna book, Prabhupada actually reveals the secret. He says that Lord Chaitanya didn't just come to give a mantra, in the sense that, you know, so many babas, gurus, yogis, they have a particular mantra, secret mantras, paid mantras, you pay something. And we have Harvard scientists trying to tell someone a subject, you chant, and then they put so many probes, they check your ECG, check your blood pressure, what exactly happens. I don't think in the Chaitanya Charitamrita any of these things are mentioned, that this is what the Mahamantra will do to you. It could be, it may not be.
It could be that somebody is very disturbed mentally and after chanting, he could feel peace. As I am saying, it could be. But the Mahamantra is not meant for harmonizing your both sides of the brain or making you very fit for that sales presentation or... It has a different purpose. And the purpose is, Prabhupada puts it very succinctly, to cultivate the mood of separation from Krishna. Now, first of all, the personality of Krishna is itself like a difficult subject to understand. And then to cultivate separation, why? Why so much stress on feeling separation? This particular difficult concept was made easier by the six Goswamis. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught them this process. In one sense, they need to be taught. They are his own entourage, come from the spiritual world. But they gave up all material engagements. They went to Vrindavan. And if you see their lifestyle, very austere. Nidrahara vihara kadi vijitau. They gave up sleeping. It is said that Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami would be awake for about 22 and a half hours a day. They would take some chana, chickpeas, chole, which the local Brajavasis would regularly have. Dried chickpeas for their lunch. So it is not like becoming a devotee of Krishna and cultivating separation from Krishna is a royal lifestyle here and then you say that I am cultivating separation. No. They control their senses. But Prabhupada explains that their life was enriched, nourished with the gopi bhav of separation. Gopi bhava rasamrita lahari, kallola magnav muhur. So there is only one way that we can withstand the problems of this material world. We have to. All of us have to face them. We are not running away from them. But where do we get the strength to face this material world? This process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the easiest one so far. If somebody has a better process, let them show it up. Sometimes Prabhupada used to argue like that. If somebody would say, Krishna is not God, then Prabhupada would say, then bring your candidate. I don't mind. Bring your candidate. Do you have one? And the person would say, no. Then till the time you bring one, Krishna remains God. We are open. We just want somebody who is all attractive. Just simple, six opulences, unlimited quantity, and that's all. So it's not so easy. So, separation from Krishna is the heart of the Mahamantra which we chant every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's a simple, the meaning is simple. Prabhupada defined it as the crying out, like a baby crying out for its mother. All of you mothers here, you very well know. Your dear child doesn't need to cry in a particular language, use the proper syntax, use the proper grammar. You don't correct its language or its tone. You see the intensity. It's the intensity which counts. So that is the heart of the Mahamantra. Further, this is from Krishna book. Prabhupada said, devotees should sit together. Like this is a Prabhupada instituted program, early morning class. Not all, but at least most of us, we got up before Brahma Murta. I read somewhere that you are ready, fully bathed, fresh, and the sun has not risen yet. You have made a very good start for that day. It's an old Niti Shastra aphorism. Because if you can maintain that lifestyle, that means you won't have much of nightlife. In order to be at Brahma Murta every day, you have to curtail your nocturnal dealings. And there is one thing in this Kali Yuga, where sometimes things really spring up to life after dusk. It's true. Which is the time most suitable for forgetting spiritual things. You can't do what people do at 11 o'clock at night, at 11 o'clock in the morning with the same intensity. You don't feel like doing it. The night seems to be a better place, a better time. So this is all how everything has gone topsy-turvy. So you have done some activity, maybe just woken up, taken a bath, you are ready to do something, and the sun has not risen yet. That particular time is Brahma. That time which is suitable for beginning spiritual or transcendental matter. Subject matter or transcendental activity. Then we have our morning services. Then we sat down and chanted. What do you mean you chant? You ask for service. You don't ask for darshan. We are not here in the typical Bollywood mode that, hey Bhagwan, darshan do. I mean, what if he gives darshan? What do you say after that? Abhijao? Yeah, I mean, I got darshan, you gave darshan, you saw me, how I am, I saw you. And I don't think we can take the matter any further. In fact, somebody asked one of our devotees that, what do you do when you go to the spiritual world? You may say, well, there is Radha Krishna there. So you may say, okay. I mean, Radha Krishna could be like, this is a palace of Radha Krishna. They are sitting in a simhasan here. And you come through the security gate. You take your permission. You keep your shoes there. You enter the palace. You go and say, Hare Krishna, I am so and so. And nice to meet you. It's good. Now what? What happens next? They might say, well, you saw us. And have you taken something to eat or whatever? Yes, I'm okay. This concept of spiritual life appears to be a eternal boring kind of a engagement. While material world, every corner, every square inch shouts variety, variety, variety. If this serial is bored you, the next one will surely entertain you. Don't worry. And don't forget, in the next 2 months, this one movie is coming and next time there's a World Cup and oh, you feel this world is filled with engagement. While Vaikuntha appears to be, I mean, what do I do there? So I think Radhanath Maharaj explained, it's not like that. But even if you feel that spiritual life is just looking at Krishna and not doing anything, it's like you will get a million volt shock every moment of divine delight, of excitement. That is the potency of Krishna. Otherwise, I mean, just read this. The cows are wandering onto the mountainsides and Krishna calls them with his flute. The trees and creepers, they are hearing Krishna's flute and they respond by suddenly making the whole tree is filled with fruits and flowers. We read that everything in Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan is conscious. What do you mean conscious? Conscious means you can take a decision. Like if an exalted personality comes here and says, somebody says, hot water, immediately 10 people will run to find some hot water somewhere. That's a conscious decision. Why? Because you have that volition, you have independence. Imagine a land where every living entity has that fully developed consciousness, fully developed sense of volition, and the potency to back them. So the tree is not a dull person. A stone is not a dull person in Vaikuntha. So you may say, why this living entity is a tree? Why this living entity is a stone? Why this living entity is a cloud? They like it. Sometimes people say, what if you get stuck? There are so many therapies in this material world, how to get out of your life if you are stuck somewhere. So do you mean to say that spiritual results you get stuck? No. First of all, there is full freedoms. Spiritual life means a life of possibilities. You can be anything. And for the sake of variety, there are birds, bees, beasts, trees, clouds, stones, everything, you name it, it's there. They all have a very different constitutional position. One devotee asked Prabhupada, are there mosquitoes in Golok? Now look at our intelligence, that's all we can ask. Like Radharani sometimes has prayers of, I'm feverish, I may die. So I was one day wondering, hey, that means in the spiritual world they know what is death, huh? They know what is fever, they know what is sickness. All that is there, but it is all relishable. So Prabhupada said, no, there are no mosquitoes there. So he was kind of relieved. And then Prabhupada added, even if they are there, they don't bite. So we see things of this material world and then we imagine things in the spiritual world. We should stop doing that. Prabhupada says, devotees should sit, worship Krishna's form, discuss his transcendental teachings, pastimes, qualities, entourage and association. It's such a simple thing. We don't have to perform asanas. We don't have to give charity. No need to perform austerities. No need to do anything. Just come in the association of devotees, discuss these things. The separation from Krishna, which is the foundation for that eternal joy, is already embedded in the Mahamantra. We don't need to be artificially saying, I am feeling separation from Krishna. It's already there. The healthy feeling of separation. Separation makes the heart grow fonder, which even mundane poets agree with. So when we serve Krishna, this also is summarized in Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's one single statement. Don't try to see Krishna. Why? Oh, you may not see him? Surely you will never see him. Serve Krishna in such a way, he comes to see you. When he comes to see you, will you see him? For sure. He has no problem. Currently I am hearing the class given by Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. And I will conclude with this. When in Jagannath Puri, you are before Ratna Simhasan, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra are there on the Ratna Vedi. He says, don't try to rush to the front to get a glimpse of the Lord. Perhaps you may not see. Now physically also this is possible. You may not see. You may be, before you know, you are out. So he says the recommended formula is stand next to the Garuda Stamba. There is a Arun Stamba outside and a Garuda Stamba inside. So the moment Jagannath Swami is giving darshan, he will surely see Garuda because that's his pure devotee. And if you are nearby Garuda, he may also see you. But if you are right there in the front, has it ever happened to you that you want to see somebody in a crowd and somebody says, me? He says, no. Me? No. So those who try to be me, they have said no. He's only looking for somebody whom he loves or somebody whom he knows. So same thing. All those who are near Garuda ji, surely they will be blessed by the glance of Jagannath Swami. Those who are rushing forward, the Lord may or may not see that. So that's a much safer way to get darshan. Hare Krishna. Shila, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.